Amen. Now, this message, it's primarily directed to you, to the men, because you're the ones that become fathers. And for too long, well, he told me to say it this way. Ladies, thank you for standing in the gap. Thank you for fulfilling a role that God never intended you to have to fulfill. Thank you for doing the absolute best that you could, even though it was never part of God's design for you to have to do it. But you've done it far too long, and it stops today. It stops today. God placed Adam in charge of the garden. And at the most crucial time, Adam decided to delegate authority to Eve. At the most critical time. And he did so with full knowledge that Eve wasn't seeing things clearly. He had full knowledge that Eve didn't exactly know what was going on. You say, well, how can you say that? The Bible says Eve was deceived. She didn't know she was speaking to the devil. But the Bible also says Adam was not deceived. So when you're not deceived, you know what's going on. Is that not so? You know, when you're not deceived, you know everything that's going on. So Adam delegated responsibility to Eve to make the critical choice as to whether or not they were going to stay true to their instructions from God. That mindset has gone on through all these generations. Whereas men, we are still leaving crucial decisions to our wives. Or if you're not married, you leave them to your girlfriend. Or your hoochie mama, or whatever it is. You're leaving them to make those choices, knowing that they're not really equipped to make them. Because they're not men. They're not fathers. They are outstanding mothers. Dr. Joe shared some, I just remember things from people that have had an impact on my, I just remember things they say and they're seemingly unimportant. But he gave us a piece that was called The Plum. And the gist of it was that you can be the finest plum in the world. It's ripe, juicy, and succulent. But even with that, you need to understand that you have a choice to try and be a banana. He said, and if you choose to be a banana, you need to understand that the best you can be is maybe a third-rate banana, but you can always be a first-rate plum. See, men, we've gone bananas, and we have put our wives in positions to be fathers when they're not supposed to be. And you can try all you want to justify it. I know I did. But the bottom line is we have a responsibility as fathers. I need to share with you some very, very alarming statistics concerning what happens in fatherless homes. But first, I want you to go with me to 1 Corinthians 4. See, this is what you call a societal issue. Problem is, it's also prevalent in the church. The problem is prevalent in what's supposed to be the answer. So we have to fix it with us so we can fix it with the world. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 15. First time I heard this verse it was shared by a brother named Lafayette Scales. We were at a men's conference, Christian men's event in Virginia Beach. That's when that faithful question was asked, when Pastor Sarah asked that faithful question. No one would answer. And it wasn't, I'm sitting in the audience, and I'm like, that's not a hard question. She just wanted to know, that's great, you're high-fiving and hooting and all that stuff, and it's fine, but what am I supposed to tell my ladies? What are they supposed to do while you guys are getting it all together? And no one would answer that question. No one would answer. And I'm like, tell them to be patient and keep praying our strength. But no one, it was like laughed off. And in my head, I'm thinking, red flag. Red flag, because when we're still not, even though we're at a Christian men's event, we're still not zeroing in on all the issues. It has to go beyond great speaking and great excitement into practical application. But the Apostle Paul said, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you have not many fathers. You have not many fathers. And I looked that up. Some translations say you have countless guides in Christ. Some say that you have 10,000 people who may teach you about Christ. Some say you have 10,000 mentors or trainers. But as always, the Message Bible slaps you right in the face with it. Okay. It says, I'm not writing, I'm going to read, start at verse 14 in the Message Bible. He says, I'm not writing all this as a neighborhood scold to make you feel rotten. He said, I'm not just coming down on you just to come because I can. And that's not my intent today either. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. We're trying to open some eyes and open some minds so that we'll change some actions. He said, I'm not writing all this as a neighborhood scold just to make you feel rotten. I'm writing as a father to you, my children. I love you and want you to grow up well, not spoiled. Now listen to this. There are a lot of people around who can't wait to tell you what you've done wrong. But there aren't many fathers willing to take the time and effort to help you grow up. That's the problem, folks. Fathers are not taking the time and the effort to help the children grow up because it takes time and effort. And I'm not using, someone shared something with me, I believe it was this morning. It was this morning. And I almost said the word, and I'm glad they shared this with me. I almost said sacrifice. But you should not have to sacrifice anything to raise your children. You know why? When you sacrifice, that means you're giving up something that you really want to do something that you don't want to do. So if you find yourself making sacrifices for your children, you're saying you'd rather do something else than to tend to your children. Something wrong with that. Especially if before they were formed in their mother's womb, we loved them. We loved them. But Paul said, there aren't many fathers willing to take the time and effort to help them grow. Fathers need to be active in the lives and development of the children. And you can't use the excuse that you were divorced. I was divorced. I used it as an excuse. Because when I was divorced, there were not a lot of parent, a lot of father advocacy groups that I was aware of. And the quote-unquote mindset then, do we need to do something with? Yeah. See, the mindset then was that in order for a father to have anything to do really in a child's life apart from the mother, you had to prove the mother as being absolutely unfit. And I convinced myself, well, I'm not going to do that to their mother. Even though I wasn't saved, and I knew some nefarious folks. And I had a whole system in place that would not have made her look good at all. I had folks who had lied and had sworn affidavits as to different things because I thought that's what was necessary. And it was like, I can't do this. I can't do it. Problem was that my sons didn't understand that. They said, well, they'll understand. No, they won't. How can they? They were 10, 8, and 6. How are they going to understand that? All they understood was that their dad wouldn't fight for them. I met then Phyllis Gray. I got remarried. Well, before I got remarried, that's how I made sure of that. I had to receive Jesus Christ and be taught for at least a year. Okay. But then after we got married and we have this blended family, well, Vicky lived with us. She lived with mom and dad. Our sons didn't. They didn't. Yeah, they would come every now and then, but I wasn't there. I didn't have a say in their training, in their schoolwork, in their activities. All three of them got married prematurely. All three. Two of them were fathers before they became husbands. And right now, today, all three of them have gone through or are about to go through a divorce. All three. But our daughter, who was in our household, who had the influence and nurturing of a mother, and the influence, the nurturing, the loving, and the discipline of a father, went through college, went through law school, has a stable family, stable children, godly man as a husband. Why? She had an example. Both had examples. But our daughter had the right example. Our daughter had the godly example. Our sons didn't, and they're going through things to this day. And they're in their 40s and late 30s. Why? Because during those formative times, I wasn't there. And I did not understand that I needed to be there regardless of the cost. I needed to be there. And that's what we have to understand, man. Regardless of the cost, we need to be there. Because when we're there, the atmosphere changes. I told you the story. Vicky said to me that she didn't go through the stuff that most of her other, a lot of her other friends went through in high school and junior high school, was because the guys saw our interactions. They saw our relationship, and they knew if they did anything inappropriately, she would tell me, and I would do something about it. And then in high school, the guys didn't even bother her close friends because they knew the friends would tell her, she'd tell her dad, and her dad would do something about it. There was security there. She told Deacon Phyllis and I that she counted on us to say no. There were times in her life when she needed us to say no. Why? Because there are things she was being pressured to do that she wanted to, she knew she shouldn't do it. But she didn't want to tell her friends, no, I don't do that. She needed to be able to tell her friends at that time in her life, my parents said no. But if she had parents that didn't care, she would have made some horrible choices. But we were there, we were in agreement, and we provided the right example. We wanted to do the same thing for the boys, but they weren't in our household. They were in another household that was fatherless. And that, I guess this is a new word, that fatherlessness had a negative effect on them. To this day. To this very day. It was handed down. I didn't know it. My dad didn't know he was handing things down to me. But there were certain attitudes that he handed down. Bishop Watson says, don't get mad at me. I'm just trying to get us to understand that we have to take the time and effort to help our children grow. Is anybody else here that wants the same thing? Okay. Okay. Brother Lafayette Scales said at the men's meeting, and you've heard this. He said, when there is a problem in the world, they look at the nations, each individual nations. When there's a problem in the nations, they look at the states. When there's a problem in the states, they look in the cities. When there's a problem in the cities, they start looking in the communities, the neighborhoods. When there's a problem in the neighborhoods, they start looking at the homes, the families. And when there are problems in the families, they start looking at the fathers. And because they haven't found the fathers, these are some of the results. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. It's five times the national average. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 32 times the average. 85% of all children who show behavior disorders come from fatherless homes. 20 times the average. 80% of rapists with anger problems. I'm trying to think, if you're a rapist, you got a problem, period. Okay. But 80% of rapists with anger problems come from fatherless homes. That's 14 times the average. And 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 71%. Fatherless children are twice as likely to drop out of school. Children with fathers who are involved are 40% less likely to repeat a grade in school. Children with fathers who are involved are 70% less likely to drop out of school. They're more likely to get A's in school. See, we said boys don't learn as fast as girls. We need to erase that kind of thinking and realize that the boys need the fathers there pushing and encouraging. They can learn at the same rate, they just learn differently. And they need a different type of... Our youngest son said to me, actually it was this morning, it was after midnight, where he called me. I don't know why they always call me after midnight. But I guess they figure I'm probably home by then. But he called me. And again, he's going through a divorce, and he said, now his wife's attorney is saying that his son has ADD because he's getting a divorce. I said, no, he doesn't have ADD. He has DDD. He has discipline deficit disorder. Okay. That's what he has. When he's with us, he doesn't act like he has ADD. but he acts like he has DDD until he realizes who's standing in front of him. And he has to, you know, kind of focus and say, they look similar, but, ooh, this is Grandpa. Okay. And he snaps right in line. And I told him, I said, listen, all I have to do is pick up the phone and call, because I don't take liberties just because I'm a grandparent. I pick up the phone. I said, I will pick up the phone and ask your dad's permission to blister your backside. And every time I do that, my son says the same thing. He says, you don't have to ask me. Okay. But all of these tags are given to our children, especially our young men, because fathers are not in place. And they have to be in place. One of the things, I'm a little ahead and it's okay, but one of the things that really was gut-wrenching, and those of you who are at the men's meeting know this, we had a young man who has a fantastic dream. Fantastic. Wants to develop a cure for cancer that won't cause people's hair to fall out. He believes that God has to have an answer there, you know. But he wrote, because this was a question and answer period, he wrote, the problem is, this is his life's dream, but the problem is, I have an absentee father. So at that young age, he already believes, I'm not going to be able to reach my life's dream because dad's not in place. What is he going to grow up to become? If someone or ones don't step up and be a father to that young man, if someone doesn't reach his biological father and let him know, your son needs these things from you, his father. You can't just be a sperm donor. The mother didn't go to the bank. You have to be a father. Doesn't matter if you wanted to be. You are. Period. If you never wanted to become a father, then don't ever get sexually involved with a female or anybody else. Because it's not a female, there's nobody else for you if you're male. All right. I mean, that's because if you do, there's always the possibility that you'll become a father. And everyone talks about safe sex. Well, how safe is it now for that young man when his dream, he believes his dreams are shattered because dad's not there? That's not safe. And we have to understand that. We have to understand that. And one thing that I always used to tell the young men during youth fellowship, I said, guys, the ladies don't have to say no to a question they're not asked. It's just that simple. Okay? It's just that simple. It says, children with fathers who are involved are more likely to enjoy school and engage in extracurricular activities. 75% of all adolescent patients in chemical abuse centers come from fatherless homes. But listen to this one. This is from research done at Columbia University. Anybody ever hear of that place? Okay. They found that children living in a two-parent household, mother and father, but they have a poor relationship with their father, are 68% more likely to smoke, drink, or use drugs compared to teens in two-parent households. However, teens in single mother households are at a 30% higher risk just because there's no father. They surveyed 7,000 inmates and found out that 39% came from mother-only households. Mother only. Why? Because dad was somewhere else. See, and we're not talking cases where dad got killed. That's easier for a child to deal with than to know their father is alive and well and doesn't want anything to do with them. That's worse. As my dad used to say, that's worser. Okay. Because how do you explain that? You can't. You can't. A study of 13,986 women in prison showed that more than half grew up without their father. 42% grew up with a single mother household, and 16% didn't live with any parents. But they have one thing in common. They in prison. It shows that the rate of child abuse and neglect in single-parent households is 27 children per 1,000. In two-parent households, it's 15 per 1,000. I mean, I think that's still high. But it's much higher when it's a single-parent household. This is the one that kind of takes the cake for me. Daughters of single parents without a father involved are 53% more likely to marry as teenagers. 711% more likely to have children as teenagers. 711%. Why? Dad's not in place. Why is that important? There's nobody to pick the guy up by the scruff of the neck and say, get out of here. I mean, that's it. You know, I heard something once that my son posted something on Facebook because he's in the Army, and he put on his page, because apparently his oldest daughter, somebody who he didn't think was appropriate, had eyes for her. So he posted on his Facebook page, guns don't kill people. Fathers with beautiful daughters kill people. Okay. I'm like, son, you could have said that another way. Okay. He said, the guy stopped calling. Okay. That's not what God meant. Okay. But in the United States, 43% of children live without their fathers. 71% of pregnant teenagers lack a father. And as I said before, I told you about the suicide rates. And 85% exhibit behavioral disorders. 70% of juveniles in state-operated institutions have no fathers. The likelihood that a young male will engage in criminal activity doubles if he's raised without a father and triples if he's in a neighborhood with a high concentration of single-parent households. Triples. I would say we have a problem. While children involved with loving fathers are significantly more likely to do well in school, have healthy self-esteem, exhibit empathy and pro-social behavior, and avoid high-risk behaviors compared to children who have uninvolved fathers. See, so just being in the home isn't enough. You have to be involved. You have to be engaged. I mean, you can have a clutch in your car, but if it doesn't engage, you're not going anyplace. It has to be, we have to be engaged. Because when we are not, then we're being like Adam. And we're giving delegated authority to someone who is ill-equipped to handle it. Not because they can't think. That's not the way they were designed. Even in this world of technology, we have all our techies in the back. if it's not in the program, I don't care how much you may want it to be done, it ain't happening. There are things we want done, and Dan, you can correct me, we have to get different software. Because the software that we have can't do it. Why not? It wasn't designed to do that. Women were not designed to be fathers. And every time I hear someone say, you know, I'm both mother and father, you know, I have to say, I understand what you mean, but you can't be, just be a great mother. God will send the proper father figure, but you need to be a great mother. Don't try and be, because with all your good intentions, the bottom line is, you don't think like a man. You don't think like a father. You think like a mother who knows her children need a father. And there's a difference. There's a difference. One, Deacon Phyllis and I, and by the way, I called all of my sons and told them. I said, I'm being very transparent about you guys in service today. I wanted to make sure they didn't have a problem with it. And Ulysses was the last one I heard from. He sent me a text. He said, Dad, if our lives can help someone else, go for it. That's what he's, because he knows. But yet he's repeating a behavior. And the great news is he's showing signs of coming out. Amen. He's realizing some things. Okay. But look at the price. Because now his oldest son is exhibiting some behavioral issues. Why? Because he doesn't understand why Dad's not there. So we're gonna have six of them for a week in July. Okay. We were going to send that particular one to summer camp. Then God said he needs to spend time with his grandparents. So we just gonna bring them, and then we can't bring one. And leave the other three. So we have the two coming from Westchester and four coming from Delaware. Okay. You don't need to pray our strength in the Lord. We got it. Okay. Okay. So here's what we need to do. All right. Do we understand what's at stake here? Do we really understand? Somebody talk to me. If not, I'll start from the beginning, because we ain't leaving here until we understand. Okay. Okay. So this is what needs to happen. Please write these down. Men, the first thing we need to do is repent and then renew our minds. You can just write down repent and renew. In Revelation, 3rd chapter, 19th verse, says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And repent. Go to your children and ask their forgiveness. Go to their mother. Ask her forgiveness. Go to your wives. Ask their forgiveness. Let them know that you realize you missed it. Let them know your plans for correcting it. Ask them to get an agreement with you. You know, I have a baby mama and she's not in agreement. Well, that's what you get. So now you have a responsibility of not only being a father to your children, but praying for their mother so that she does get it. We're taking away all excuses, because there's absolutely no excuse for not being a father to your children. And there's no excuse for us that don't have children, but no fatherless children, to not be the father figure in their life. And we're going to see that later on where God gives us that responsibility. Okay. Number two. Your presence has to be present. See, we are to our children the same way God is to us, and the same way we want God to be to them. You may say, well, why didn't you say, well, you know, they need to be like God is to them? Well, Abraham is our example. God said concerning Abraham, I know him. He will raise his household after him. And I found that interesting that God didn't say Abraham's going to raise his household to follow me. God said Abraham's going to raise his household to follow Abraham. Well, Abraham followed after God. So if you were in Abraham's household, whether you were born in or bought in, you were going to follow what Abraham did. Abraham followed God. You want to stay in Abraham's household? Guess what you have to do? Follow God. It's that simple. Children with, remember what I said? Children with involved, loving fathers are significantly more likely to do well. Significantly. Your presence has to be present whether you are physically there or not. That's the true testimony of your ability and your success as a father. I don't care where I am, who I'm talking to, and especially when I'm ministering, some of Pastor Clinton always comes out in me. In a phrase, a thought, you know, emotion, something. Why? Because I sat over there and studied him for years and listened to him. He used to come by my office and sit down and just talk. And if I had something going on, I'd sit and talk with him. Did I like everything he said? No. But everything he said was right. And I have this burning desire to be right. So to do that, you have to admit when you're wrong and fix it. Folks, it's not a sin to be wrong. It's a sin to hide it. Because now you're being deceptive, or worse, you're being hypocritical. And those things don't match up with the word Father. Okay? John 20 tells us many other things truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples. They didn't have to read about things Jesus did. They didn't have to wait and have someone tell them. They saw it with their own eyes. Why is that important? Our children need to see us praising the Lord. They need to see us living a godly life. They need to hear us speaking godly words. Because they're going to imitate what they see. They're going to imitate me. I'll never forget, never forget. I'm at a basketball game. And we were playing this game, and we had a rule. No guard went down the middle and got little foul from one of our guards, and we continued to allow them to make the layup. That just wasn't happening. I mean, that's... Referees don't call two fouls. Not going to say foul over here, and we have a foul over there. Okay? They don't do that, right? You know, you play a guard, right? You didn't go down there, right? Okay. And so this guy came down, and so I let him know that that wasn't wise. Well, he took exception to it. And I didn't know. I'm walking, because he's entitled to his free throws. I'm walking the line up, and it felt like something flicked, went past, but like I felt wind or something. And I turned, and I'm moving back into my position on the line, and I looked at him. He said, yeah, and I'll hit you again. I'm like, hit me? You hit me? You know, I didn't know. The minute I said that, he started hissing, and he went down in his stance and stuff, you know. And I'm laughing. And I'm like, you really want to do this, right? And he's just going on doing his hands and all this stuff. I just reached out and grabbed him around the throat and lifted him up like this. And I'm not proud of this. I'm just being transparent. My intent was to choke him into unconsciousness to prove a point. Here's the problem. I'm standing there holding him like this. Everybody said, Foots, let him go, let him go. And I'm like this. So you think you're bad, huh? And out of my peripheral vision, I see this little body jumping up and down. I turn and look, it's my youngest son. I had forgotten they were at the game. And he's jumping up, pumping his fist in the air, saying, kill him, Dad, kill him, kill him. I let him go. I'm like, oh, wow. I never once thought that they were watching me to that degree. I never once thought it. It changed my whole attitude as to how I conducted myself in their presence. Because whatever they see me do, they're going to think it's right, and they're going to do the same thing, the same way. So what happens? I get a call to go up to his school. Why? Little boy messed with him, and he knocked him out. First grade. Knocked him out. Why? That's what he saw his father do, and that's what his father said. See, this is how you handle people. Why? Because I was an idiot. Take one of Judge Judy's words. I was an idiot. I didn't know any better. But I know better now. And the problem is these things are happening in the church where we know better. So your children need to witness you living a life powered and empowered by God, period. Thirdly, you need to be filled with the Spirit and with godly wisdom. You know the accountant asks, there was a need. And the apostle said, go among the people and find 7 men known to be filled with the Spirit and all wisdom. So your reputation as a father needs to be that you are full of the Holy Ghost and godly women, and everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. What did I say? I said godly women? Yeah. Oh, no. Excuse me while I do a Marie. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost and godly wisdom. Wisdom. Problem is you've been trying to fill yourself with godly women. Right? But they need to know it. That has to be your reputation. And 4, train up your child in the way they should go based on what God said and not what they said. Well, what did God say? Let me show you some of the things he said in Deuteronomy 6. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you so that you may enjoy long life. Verse 6. He says, well, I'll just keep reading. Verse 1. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the Lord. The Lord our God, the Lord, is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Verse 7. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. So from the time, fathers, from the time we wake up in the morning until the time we go to sleep at night, we should be talking to our children about the Lord.
Yes.
Not LeBron. About the Lord. It's fine, you want to watch the game and all that's fine, but you're talking about the Lord. Period. Period. Because in the name of LeBron James, they're not going to get anything. Doesn't matter if he refers to himself as the King James Version. He ain't the Bible. Okay. He's just a great basketball player. That's it. All right. Ephesians 6. These are still instructions on training up a child. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. When you are not there, you are exasperating your children. When they hear you speak harshly to their mother, you are exasperating your children. When they see you one way in church and another way when you leave church, you're exasperating your children. It says, instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now, what does that mean? It means before you do anything with your children, as Pastor Saris taught us, you talk to God about your children before you talk to your children about God. You find out what it is God wants you to say to them and how he wants you to say it, and that's all you do. Well, we have to put our own spin on it, and that's why your children are dizzy. You need to just do what God says because that's all they need. Colossians 3:21 says, Father, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. Don't do anything to cause bitterness. And if you have ministry responsibility, you need to learn that you don't have to be at every service everywhere. You find out from God where you're supposed to be. And you go there. Your children have a recital, you need to be sitting there in the front row cheering them on. You don't know, I wanted to go to a men's conference. You're at one now, and the speaker is saying, you need to be with your children. Unless God gives you some very specific instructions, you need to be with your children. One of the things Pastor Sarah told me after we were ordained, and we were kind of sort of murmuring about all this time, and she so sweetly told us, God doesn't call you to do everything. You need to do the things that he said. And he said, do you remember when I said, but you said yes? See, we say yes to things that God didn't ask us and then get upset when we get burned down by them. And I made a choice. And when I made it, God said, it's about time. I said, I'm not missing another play. And thing they were, all I have to do is let folks know in advance. It got to a point where our grandchild was, where's Grant? Oh, he must be in the Poconos. You say, well, what's wrong with that? It can cause a bitterness towards God because God's taken their grandparent away from them, or God has taken their parent away from them. See, being good fathers will eliminate that preacher's kid syndrome. It'll eliminate it. Because we'll understand our first ministry is to our family. We'll understand that. One of the things that Pastor Dean shared, and I was so blessed by it, and my attitude was, wow. In all the years of marriage, he said he has never broken his word to his wife or any of his children. Never. No matter what came, if he was at a meeting and they wanted him to stay, but it was one of his children's birthday or something, he left. If he told them, I will be there, he left. He said one time he was just missing his wife. So he said he had been there for 4 days. He's like, if you ain't get after 4 days, that's enough. I'm going home. he has a healthy family. He had to make some choices. Folks, we have to make choices. Just like we saw it where God said, I will be, you know, building my future at all costs. Well, that's some of our attitude. We will read, my God shall supply all my need, and we get excited about that. But then we neglect our family because we have to go out there and make money. Yes, you have a responsibility, but your first responsibility is to seek God's wisdom. Father, you said you would supply all my need. So this is what I'm presented with. I'm to be a father to my children. I'm to be a husband to my wife. And I have these things that I could do, but it's going to take me away. What is it that you want me to do? If he tells you to do these things, do them. Everything will work out fine. If he tells you to stay home and minister to your family, do that, and everything will work out fine. Which is what we want in the first place, isn't it? We want everything to just work out. Well, we already have a more sure word of prophecy. We have his word. It says, I will provide all your need. We need to put a period there and stop using other punctuation. We're to love and bless our children. Jesus said, if we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, there's an expectation there. The expectation is that we give what? Good gifts. Your absence is not a good gift. It's not. We're to discipline. He says, well, what son is not disciplined by his father? He said, the Lord disciplines those he loves. So how can you say to your child, I love you, but you don't discipline them? You put no restraints on them. God's going to hold you accountable for that. Really, he may hold you doubly accountable because the word says, who's ever causing confusion will pay a penalty no matter who they be. So if you're not raising your children properly, you're causing confusion in their life. And you're going to have to stand before God. How many in here are children? Just say, we are.
We are.
Okay. I'm talking to the children now. Okay. All right. There's some instructions for you to help make this easier for your dads and your moms. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. So that means you don't honor your mother and your father, your days are numbered. You may never get to be a father. I know some folks that became fathers but almost didn't make it to see their child's first birthday. Why? Didn't honor their mother. Doesn't really have that interaction with the father, but didn't honor mother. And got themselves in some trouble. And that will always happen. Be mindful about what you say about your parents. God is listening. God is listening. No, your parents are not cool. They ain't supposed to be. I tell you, I'm not cool. Well, my wife thinks I'm cool. This is one of the cards she gave me. And I do some things. Yeah, I got violet socks on. You know, that's okay. You know, but my children, they don't need a cool dad. They need a godly dad. They need a godly grandpa. And so that's what they're getting. Period. Yeah, I know how to have fun. We have a good time. But I tell them, no, I'm not cool. I'm not hip. Yeah, I can play Wii. You know, I can deal with a PlayStation. But cool, no. And I'm not your friend. I'm your grandpa. I'm your dad. I ain't your friend. Okay. And so whenever we talk, I'm going to talk to you from the point that I'm your dad or I'm your granddad. Period. You have friends out there. That's why you're talking to me now. Okay. Proverbs 23 says, listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she's old. And I'm going to take liberty to add, don't despise her when she's young either. Okay. A wise son, we have any wise sons in here? A wise son heeds his father's instructions. I'm not going to ask if we have any fools, but a fool spurns his father's discipline. And if you are in a situation and your father is not actively present in your life, God has some promises to you. He said, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. He also says, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. In Psalm 68, we're called to be a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. Why? Because that's what God is. And as Pastor Clinton wrote in his song, we're to be God's reflection here in this earth. Folks, when God had Pastor Ed and I reorganize, you know, the fellowships, and he told us who to place over each one, and we did. We didn't think about the persons or what we may have known or didn't know about them. All we thought about was, this is what God said, and that was fine with us. And so he told us to put Elder Bill as overseer for the men's fellowship. And God immediately gave Elder Bill the theme, title, whatever you want to call it, Visible Men. Visible Men. And then the obvious question is, visible doing what? Living out all of God's decrees. You can't be visible and absent at the same time. So once we get to the place where we truly become visible men, there won't be any fatherless homes. We have to become visible men. It doesn't matter what has happened or the choices that you've made or why things got to that. All that was yesterday. It's today. What are you going to do now? Not even tomorrow. What are you going to do now? Because we're not deceived. We clearly see the dilemma. We clearly see it. God expects us to operate based on what he said. Because as far as God is concerned, his principles haven't changed. As far as he's concerned, this is still Eden. And he's put us here to dress it and to keep it. And he gave us authority over everything that moves through it. So why are we as godly men allowing all these laws and things to pass that are designed to steer our children away from God? Because they're You like that party affiliation? Those answers don't fly anymore. They never really did. But God's at the place where he ain't winking at this stuff anymore. He's holding accountable. He's holding accountable. And if we're not willing to step up, we will be replaced. Suddenly. Suddenly. Because God is not going to allow his future generations to be compromised. He's not going to allow the church to go away by attrition because fathers didn't do their job. He's not going to allow it, folks. So we need to just get on board with his program once and for all. And the last thing I'm going to share, I believe, is this. We were talking with Bishop Watson, and in talking, one of the things that just came up in us is that, you know, there has to be a rallying point. There has to be. And our rallying point is man up, period. Man up. And so when what we want to happen, Elder Bill, is that when we say man up, we want every man to jump up and just shout out praises to God. Why? Because real men praise the Lord. And before every choice that we make, every choice that comes before us concerning our family, we need to start out giving praise to God and roll over into worshiping God. And guess what will come? The answer. The answer. What's the phrase that we're going to do, we're going to hear? Man up. That's it. We're going to jump to our feet, and we're going to lift our voice in praise, unashamedly. Why is that important? Because some of us are ashamed to be seen as public praisers. I mean, that's the way it is. But we're not, I don't understand this, okay? We're ashamed to be seen in public going, oh, praise you, Lord. But we'll go to a football game and paint ourselves blue and get in the group and spell out the name of our team by having it written on our chest. And we'll posture like, ah, ah. Everybody praise the Lord. That's embarrassing. I can't do that. I don't understand that, you know. I mean, what did painting your skin blue ever get you? Probably a skin rash, right? We'll be seen in public. We'll be seen in public, celebrating after games, bottle of beer, yeah! And say, oh man, I had a blast. And God is saying, lift your hands and praise to me. That's embarrassing. I don't want anyone to know I do that. Man up.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, we thank you, Father. All glory, all honor, all praise go to you, Lord. Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now listen to this. Listen to this. Another reason why this is important. I've shared this before. I share it again. I'm going to keep sharing it. You can sit down. See, I like to study predators. I do. Because they get their nature from the devil. And so as I learn about predators, I'm also learning the ways that the devil operates. See, predators divide and conquer. Okay. The devil divides and conquers. That's why for years he's trying to get men against women. He wants each one to believe they don't need the other one. And he wants us to forget that God is the one that said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make a help meet for him. I will give him someone who will help him accomplish all the things I have decreed that he will accomplish. And God is the one that saw fit that man's helpmeet should be a woman and not another man. God is the one that made that determination. Okay. So we have to understand that we need the help of a godly woman. Well, when you watch lions, the male lions, they can hunt. And they sometimes accompany the females in the hunt, but they don't do most of the work. It's the female, it's the lioness that does the stalking and the killing. And sometimes they just open up the kill, and then they move out of the way, and the male comes and feeds first. Well, that's fine. But see, the male fulfills his role. He provides the authority and a protection for that pride. And anything that wants to invade that pride of lions first looks to see if there's a male present. And if they see a male, they have to make a determination. Does this male know what he's doing, or is he a juvenile? If he's a juvenile, they start making a lot of noise. And as they're making noise, we call it distractions, they're observing the behavior of those juveniles. If they turn and look, they know they have distracted him. They know he is now concerned about them. And they start circling the lions, making as much noise as they can. And every time the male lions look at them, they close the circle. And they get the young juveniles to leave. Once they leave, it seems that the female lion forgets that she's something to be reckoned with also. And it's like, the males are gone, we better get out of here too. And in this one episode that I was watching, one hyena that was about 120 pounds had three female lions, each one over 300 pounds, held at bay on a tree log. One hyena. Why? Because the males left. And the narrator said, the balance is about to be restored. And then this huge male, about 500 pounds, came running from nowhere, went right in and grabbed the biggest hyena he could find and killed it, kept it in its mouth, and went just like this. All the hyenas left. And the narrator said, the order has been restored. The sound of men shouting out praises to the Lord lets the enemy know there are mature males here that you have to deal with. We are not juvenile. We know our authority. We know who we are in Christ. And if you continue on your present course, it won't be well with you. So man up.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And turn around and declare to these ladies in here that they've waited long enough, but their wait is over. Go ahead, church. Just turn around and tell them. Say, we know who we are. Tell them that. Say, we know who we are. And we're going to be in place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you that this isn't just emotion and spectatorship. I thank you that this was a very real experience for these men. I thank you, Father, that they see with the eyes of their understanding the problem that this world is facing, and that they see their part in the solution. I thank you, Lord, that every man that hears this will be convicted, and will develop the mindset, what must I do to help turn this thing around? That our attitude be no more fatherless children. No more. First of all, I'm not going to create any. And if I meet some, Lord, I will be a father to them as directed by you. And that I will be a living example about what it truly means to be a Christian man, husband, and father. And I thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Man up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All glory goes to you. All honor goes to you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we give you praise. Thank you, Lord, for you are good. Hallelujah.